Hey, it's NPR's Book of the Day. I'm Andrew Limbong. Today, we've got two books for the younger crowd. In a bit, we'll hear about a picture book that, to me, as a younger sibling, kind of sounds like pro-older sibling propaganda. But in the interest of journalistic integrity, I guess it's only right that we hear out what these older siblings have to say. But first, something for kids a little older who may already be facing some tough real-world problems. The book is by John Hsu, and it's titled Louder Than Hunger. It's a slightly fictionalized account of Hsu's own childhood dealing with anorexia nervosa. See, there was a voice in his head telling him he wasn't good enough, that he was unworthy. And in this interview with NPR's Scott Simon, Hsu talks about framing that voice in the book and turning it from a capital V voice to a lowercase v voice, from a proper noun to a common one. It seems like a simple switch, but in Hsu's hands, it's a powerful one. That's ahead.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Get your quote at progressive.com and see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
Jake Stacy is 13 years old in the 1990s, and here's a voice inside of him. He loves Sondheim and Streisand, Emily Dickinson and rollerblading. He has a special bond with his grandmother, and they laugh, watch movies, listen to Broadway shows, and have fun. Then Jake hears that voice telling him,
"You don't deserve love and warmth and kindness and goodness. You don't deserve anything."
That's John Hsu. He's a children's librarian and author of books for young readers. His latest is Louder Than Hunger. And John Hsu joins us now from Book Tour in Nashville. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for chatting with me today about Louder Than Hunger, which is the story of my heart.
Well, you know this voice in your own life, don't you?
Yeah. So Jake Stacy, who's the main character of Louder Than Hunger, his full name is Jake Edward Stacy. And my full legal name is John Edward Schumacher. And so Jake and I have the same initials. But I decided to fictionalize my story, my journey with anorexia nervosa, obsessive compulsive disorder, depression, and anxiety.
Well, tell us about that voice, what you heard, what Jake hears.
So the voice started in the fifth grade, and it wasn't a very loud voice, but as I made my way through middle school and experienced various bullying and criticisms, the voice became louder. And eventually the voice became so loud that it in many ways dictated my life by calling me repulsive and unworthy. And in order to gain some control, I started to do things to try to make myself become smaller, make myself invisible.
And not eating takes a toll, doesn't it?
Yeah, because you, obviously, without food, decision-making is challenging, and school is challenging, relationships are challenging. And when there's a voice manipulating you, you don't really know what your place is in this world.
John, what is that voice?
Well, I realize that the voice is actually me, my own inner saboteur. And it takes a lot of therapy and a lot of reflection to realize that I am in control of that voice. And I've gleaned strategies in order to always keep it, as I refer to with middle school kids, a lowercase v. Because in the book, when Jake, for a lot of the book, is referring to the voice in his head, it looks like a proper noun. But as he starts to do the work and as he starts to want to go on the path toward recovery, he's able to change that from an uppercase V to a lowercase V.
Let me ask you a bit about Jake. He volunteers at a nursing home. What does he find there that he finds in no other spot in life at that moment?
Yeah. So that was based on in my own, that is truth. Not 100% of the book is truth. But I went to a very small school from 9 a.m. until noon. And then you were expected to volunteer in the afternoon. And I started volunteering at a local nursing home. And I loved being there because I felt accepted among the residents, and the residents were always very motherly and compassionate to me. And it was actually a resident who was legally blind that I would read to every afternoon. And I cannot remember her name, but in the book, I call her Miss Burns. And one day, Miss Burns was holding my hand, and I was reading to her. And she could tell that there was something wrong with me. And she went to the director of the nursing home and had her call my mom. And my mom was going through some difficult things at the time, and that was a wake-up call for my mom. And because of that very kind and compassionate resident, I found myself at Linden Oaks Hospital in Naperville, Illinois.
Wow. Well, Jake's mother takes him to a place called Whispering Pines.
Yes.
Didn't take a lot of trouble to change the names that much, did you?
Well, no. Well, because, yeah, as what I've been telling people is that I wanted it to sound kind of like Linden Oaks, you know, like trees. And then Jake in the book loves the Golden Girls, and I love the Golden Girls. And it reminded me of Shady Pines, where Dorothy is always saying, I'm going to send you to Shady Pines, Mother. And so that kind of brought some humor to my writing experiences of the raw poetry.
And how are you doing today?
I am doing very, very well.
What did make a difference for you, John?
Yeah, I think is what made a difference was this moment in a real bookstore in Chicago called Unabridged Books. And one of my favorite scenes to write in Louder Than Hunger actually takes place in that bookshop. I was at Linden Oaks Hospital, and then I transferred to Rush in Chicago.
Used to be Rush Presbyterian St. Luke's.
Yes, yeah, Rush Presbyterian. They would encourage a lot of day trips out with my family. And there was this one where we went to Unabridged Books and we wandered and roamed around Lakeview and Lincoln Park. And I remember thinking, I feel so alive here, and I feel at peace here, and I feel at home here, and I want to live here one day. And I remember thinking, but if you don't start doing what your therapist is telling you to do, and you don't start doing all the things that you really know you need to do to get better, you're never going to be able to live here. And so Unabridged Books, in my story, was a turning point.
There are families listening to this interview today, as they drop off youngsters and pick them up and run errands, but contend with their own voices of self-destruction. What would you like to tell them?
I would like to tell them to get a notebook and to write down your thoughts and to record your feelings. And I would tell them something that the great two-time Newbery medalist, Kate DiCamillo, always reminds me to do when I'm writing and when I'm working through something, which is that we have to open up the suitcase of our heart. And I think when we open up the suitcase of our heart and we're honest with ourselves and we're honest with others, life, as one of the characters in Louder Than Hunger says, is easier, better, and more fun.
John Chu, his new book, Louder Than Hunger. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much. It was an honor to chat with you.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive, and it's Name Your Price tool. Say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show coverage options within your budget. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This message comes from NPR sponsor Noom. Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, helps you build new habits for a healthier lifestyle. Check out The Noom Kitchen for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The book that almost rhymed is a picture book that is the perfect distillation of the older sibling, younger sibling dynamic. Author Omar Abed and illustrator Hatem Ali read the opening pages in this interview with NPR's Scott Detrow, so I won't spoil the conceit, but listen to the part where they explain how the book first came to be, and it's also a lesson in making the most out of rejection.
All right, question now for all of the older siblings out there. A little bit of a riddle for you. What is smaller than you? Allegedly, according to some people, cuter than you, follows you around, and has a knack for either getting in the way or getting their way. If you guessed a younger sibling, and maybe you did it immediately, rest assured you are right, you are seen, you are heard. And younger siblings, take no offense. You know you make our lives' adventures more colorful. And all of those feelings are colorfully front and center in a new picture book called The Book That Almost Rhymed. The book's author, Omar Abed, and illustrator, Hadam Ali, join us now. Welcome to All Things Considered.
Awesome. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
I have to guess at least one of you is an older sibling. What's the sibling situation for both of you?
So I am an older sibling. I have four younger siblings. And I believe Hatem's also an older sibling.
I am an older sibling and I have a younger sister. So it's exactly like the book.
And I am an older sibling as well. And I currently live with an older sibling struggling with the existence of that younger sibling. So this book hit close to home. The story told in this book, I think, is really engaging. It really draws you in. And it's short enough that I think I'd love to just hear both of you read part of it for us, if you don't mind. I'm wondering, Omar, can you play the older sibling? And Hatem, can you play the younger sibling? And can you read us just like the first maybe three pages of the story?
Sure, I'm up for that. Let's do it.
Sure.
All right, so here we have The Book That Almost Rhymed. The other day I wrote this book. You won't believe how long it took. It rhymed, and I was super proud. It sounded great when read out loud. But then my sister came along, and now the story sounds all wrong.
Better!
As I was saying, my sister took a crayon in hand and did something I cannot stand. She ruined every rhyming verse, so now my story sounds much...
more magnificent!
As I was saying... I wrote a smooth and seamless story about a brave knight's quest for glory. He yearned for treasure all his own, and so he journeyed all along...
alongside a fierce and friendly detective.
Omar, how did you first think up this story? How much of it is lived experience of being an older sibling?
Yeah, I think the older sibling part was actually, I think, maybe subconscious. The story came about when I was actually trying to write a completely different story. I was pitching a different manuscript to publishers, and I was getting a lot of feedback that my other manuscript rhymed too much, and my agent came back to me and he was like, maybe we can try to write the story without rhyming. And I really struggled to write without rhyme. The closest I could get was, you know, things that almost rhymed. And so the most I tried to write a new story, I really couldn't get there, but what came out of that was the book that almost rhymed.
Oh, that's interesting.
It was a really roundabout way to writing this book.
And Hatem, can you tell me about the workflow here of how did you start to think about how this story would be illustrated and visualized?
Yeah, it was interesting to read it. And then I was an older sibling, like I told you, but I think I'm kind of in between the characters of the two siblings. Like, I used to play with my sister, like we used to mute movies and make up like our own dialogue or something like that. And I'm used to be like the one who's just going off the chart. Like I'm just going off script, you know, I'm the one who's like getting off the hook. So I was embodying both kind of older brother and at the same time, the imaginative part too, in my illustration. And I kind of struggled to know like how I'm going to make it like more, you know, reality and imagination together. Like they're kind of just going to another world all the time.
And Hatem, I love the illustrations throughout the book, but early on you see this moment where the older sibling has all of these pieces of paper that clearly this story was thought out and this is my individual idea. And then they're scattered to the wind and he looks startled as the little sister just like bursts in yelling, "Better! I've got my own rhyme!"
Yeah. And I wanted it to be from a structured like boy that wants to do something very orderly and total chaos all of a sudden. Like it's not gradual. So that's why I made like this burst of like papers going all over the space.
And Omar, what I liked about this story is in its pages, it kind of travels the journey that I think a lot of people go with their younger siblings, especially of, you are so annoying, but wait a second, maybe you're annoying because you want to be with me and you want to be part of what I'm doing, and wait a second, actually, I like you. You add a lot to the mix.
Yeah. It's. I think, you know, as you get older, your relationship with your siblings changes, of course, and you start to appreciate that nobody really understands you like your siblings will. You know, so when you're young, you grow up and everything annoys you, I think, because you're so similar. But then as you get older and you're trying to, I don't know, find like companionship in the world, it becomes harder as you get older. But I think you rediscover those connections to your siblings. So yeah, now that, you know, we are older, me and my siblings, it's a good way for us to bond like over the story. But I look at how my son interacts with like his cousins, for example, and I'm like, oh wow, this is how we used to be, you know. So it's interesting to see how those relationships change over time.
Did either of you share this book with your siblings, and what was their response?
I did. My sister at first was like, who is this about? But they loved it. They really loved it. For us, it was just like the magic of the illustrations, I think, was what really brought it to life, because we had, you know, they had experienced like the manuscript with me. I shared it with all of them as I was creating the story. So to see what Hatem did with it afterwards was something we all bonded over.
That's Omar Abbott and Hatem Ali, the author and illustrator of a new picture book, The Book That Almost Rhymed. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Awesome. We really appreciate it.
And that's it for this week on NPR's Book of the Day. If you want more, you can sign up for our newsletter. It's great. It's at npr.org/newsletter/books. I'm Andrew Limbong. The podcast is produced by Isabella Gomez Sarmiento and Ashley Montgomery and edited by Megan Sullivan. Our founding editor is Petra Mayer. The show elements for this week were produced and edited by Justine Kennan, Gus Contreras, Avery Keatley, Elena Burnett, Shannon Rhodes, Elena Torek, Courtney Dorning, Jordan Marie Smith, Matthew Sherman, Andrew Craig, and Jason Fuller. Beth Donovan is our managing editor. Thanks for listening.
Listen to Embedded for moments that stay with you.
I could smell the smoke. I could smell the dust.
Voices that resonate. Stories that change the way you think about your life.
How did we get here?
The Embedded podcast is NPR's home for original documentary series. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. The Capital One Venture X business card earns unlimited double miles on every purchase. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/VentureXBusiness.
On It's Been a Minute, we're keeping you in the know when it comes to culture. I break down the latest trends and the forces behind them and introduce you to the creatives who think deeply about how we live today. Come for some good old cultural analysis and have a few laughs with me. Listen to the It's Been a Minute podcast from NPR.